Poster 4. Parties and get-togethers. First, weddings. Weddings were usually held during the winter months, while the men were at home. Confirmations were held in February, before the seamen went back on their ships. Often, they were accompanied by confirmands who wanted to start a career at sea. There were many Christmas and New Year's get-togethers, and often hirings for the next sailing expeditions were made here. Weddings were big events. It got busy at the wedding farm, called a hyttegård, as soon as the wedding date was decided. The bride and groom went personally from house to house, inviting guests. From the circle of close relatives, important participants such as the bridesmaids were chosen. Other relatives also had important roles to play during the wedding, arranging the borrowing of tables, chairs, porcelain, etc. A week before the wedding, presents arrived in the form of sides of pork, other meats and sausages to be used for the wedding meal. Also, the bridal bed was made with all that was needed to equip a fine bedroom. 2 days before the wedding, two family members made yet another round to the neighbors and friends and invited the guests again. The others were busy preparing the wedding at the wedding farm. On the wedding day, which in the case of large weddings always was on a Thursday, everyone arrived at 8 o'clock to the party place. The bride and groom sat waiting in the large parlor, called a pisl, greeting their guests and receiving gifts. When everyone had arrived, the guests were led to their seats, which they kept during the entire party. Smorgasbord was served with coffee, cakes, and alcoholic punches. Afterwards, everyone drove to church by horse-drawn carriage. After arriving in church, the bride and groom were separated in each their pew. But when it was time to go up to the altar, the groom would get up first, bow to the bride, who then rose from her seat and curtsied. Then the couple would make a courtesy turn around the altar to make a mite on the altar for the priest and the deacon. Outside, the church guests were treated to wine, brandy, and cake. At the wedding farm, they were ready to receive the newlyweds and all the guests. The first dish served was pork, other meats, and potatoes with gravy. The second dish was wine soup with raisins and cinnamon. Dessert was rusks with butter. Beverages were wine, beer, and brandy. After the lunch, a psalm was sung, and the guests were sent home or sent visiting among themselves so that things could be cleaned up. The bride and groom's mothers were not present in the church for the ceremony, nor did they participate in the wedding lunch. It was their job to oversee that everything went as planned. The guests returned for the evening, where they were treated to smorgasbord, cake, and punch. After dinner, the rømmetoast was sung. Then the best man held the only allowed speech for the newlyweds. Afterwards, the parlor was cleared and prepared for dancing, and the guests danced the night away to the music of one or two fiddlers. No one could leave the wedding farm before the following morning. But over the course of the evening and night, smorgasbord was served again with tea, and later meat with stewed potatoes. In the morning, coffee and more smorgasbord was served. The final meal was around noontime and consisted of stew, followed by rusks and coffee, finished off with tea, coffee, beer, and brandy. After the final meal, the guests danced clockwise around the building, no matter the time of year. A final toast ended the celebration. The wedding place was then prepared for the following Sunday. Everyone that had contributed with food to the party was invited to a new party, which was more or less like the wedding party, but only lasted until Monday morning. 2. Deaths and funerals. In the case of death, a young woman dressed in black, called a boyman, went from house to house to inform of the death of one of the island's inhabitants. Elder close relatives arrived a few days before the funeral to witness the laying of the departed in the coffin. That day, a young man went from house to house inviting to the funeral. Either the priest or the deacon spoke before the coffin was removed from the deceased's home through a door which faced east, where the hearse waited. Before this, smorgasbord and punch was served for the guests. Two women from the close family would sit on the coffin on the way to church. From the coffin gate on the northern side of the church, the coffin was carried to the eastern entrance, then to the burial site. After the coffin was lowered into the grave, the priest held a speech and threw the first shovel of earth on the grave. Afterwards, young men from the close family covered the grave. Then, specially invited guests came home with the family for a wake with food and drinks. It was told that an elderly woman, Kalina, who felt that there weren't enough celebrations on the island, asked her daughter to fetch the carpenter so he could take measurements for her coffin. She had decided to celebrate her own funeral. After the carpenter had left, Kalina asked her daughter to visit all her friends and invite them to her wake. People found this very strange. They knew that Kalina was bedridden with arthritis, but also that she certainly was alive. It was a grand party, with dancing and food. At one point, Kalina crawled out of the sleeping alcove to participate in the dance. Suddenly, she fell and broke her leg. Despite her mishap, she insisted that the party continue. 8 days later, she passed away, but at least she had experienced her own wake.